Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's February 5th, 2014. 2 days until the Genesis study. There's still time for you to call in and be a part of this gathering where we're going to study certainly the first two chapters of Genesis, maybe into the third chapter, but it won't be like we'll just be stuck on two verses, Jason, huh? I don't think I can derail you that much.
Well, it'll be slow going.
But
well, I mean, there's a lot to study in there. You have to understand the philosophical. You have to understand some of the social ways that this was read. And you have to we have to look at some of Hebrew poetry and how this mimics some of the Hebrew poetry. We have to look at the Babylonian creation story, which was around at the time, too, because God in the Hebrew creation story is so entirely different than any of the other creation stories like that with Marduk and that. So we have to compare. So there's a lot of work that has to be done to understand. And then we have to understand some of the ways that the words are used, what the original meanings of the words are used, how they play into Hebrew philosophy and theology. Genesis chapter 1 tells us more than we can even imagine about who we are, what we are, and most importantly, what God is like.
And that's going to begin this Friday night, being held at the Judah Christian School in Champaign on Prospect Avenue. We'll gather at 6:30, 6:30 to 8. We'll start on time. We'll end on time, so you can commit to that hour and a half. We'd love to have you. There'll be five sessions, basically February 7th and the 21st, and then March 7th and the 21st, and then April, let me turn the calendar, it's the first Friday in April, and that would be the 4th. So five sessions, it'd be great if you could make all five times, but don't not make it just because you'd have to miss one or two. Come on out. There is a $10 cost because we'll have some materials that we'll be handing out, but it'll be a great time to fellowship, gather together, and you can't go wrong. Study God's Word with other like-minded believers. It'll be a great time for us to gather. So that's this Friday night, but you must RSVP so we have enough materials. And who knows what kind of snacks or treats I'll have available. So that's this Friday night. But you must call 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777 to get registered. Hey, we're in the midst of Founders Week. In fact, this morning's sessions, the live coverage from the Moody Memorial Church will begin at 9:30. With Colin Smith, and then around 10:45, Priscilla Shire. I think she's Tony Evans' daughter, were saying, Jason, and a very gifted Bible teacher. In fact, we said followed almost as much, if not more, than Beth Moore and other people. She has some curriculum and study materials, and I guess a great preacher. I haven't heard her, so I'll look forward to that. That's today on Founders Week, heard on WGNN exclusively. So if you can pick up one of those three frequencies, 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM, from 9:30 to noon, you'll hear the live coverage from Founders Week from the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. And then tonight, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, 7 to 9 p.m. So enjoy the conference. It's fascinating. It's fun. It's interesting. You feel a part of things because they have the Moody Symphonic Band and other worshipful songs, along with teaching and talks and interviews. And it's narrated with the hosts at the Moody Broadcasting Network. So it's Founders Week, 7 to 9 tonight, and then the morning sessions, 9:30 to noon, only on WGNN. So the morning edition of Mark and Friends will not be heard on WGNN, just on WGNJ. So our WGNJ listeners, you have the permission or freedom to tune in to WGNN for Founders Week. So, yeah, that's great. In fact, what's neat about this is people can hear it all over the country, all over the world. And as our broadcasts are also streamed, Great News Radio has our four frequencies, but two different stations. We have our streaming audio so people can access the Ministry of Great News Radio around the country and the world. And then with our archive morning programs, they can also tune in. And we got an email just a couple days ago from a friend of both of ours. She was on a trip to Israel, Mary Bull, from Texas now. She lived locally and volunteered for
second biggest country in the world.
Yes, good old Texas. And you got to say Texas in a certain way. But she writes, "Mark, you know I do appreciate you and the Ministry of Great News Radio. I am so grateful for the internet. I can get the great programming and the ministry of you and the wonderful people who support you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Specifically, the morning program you did this morning was particularly touching for me. Now, how do I really feel? ! Some smiley faces, and then she says, love and prayers to you, Holly and Esther, also to Karen, Jason, Joey, and the entire staff. That's Mary from Texas. And so she was probably referring to Monday's edition of Mark and Friends when we had the special guest of Jing Jing and Fairy, and she shared some of her heartfelt testimony and just becoming a Christian 2 months ago and being baptized because she read in a book that it doesn't matter about being a good Christian. It's important to be an obedient Christian. And God's Word clearly says, be baptized. And so she felt led to do that at the end of December. And I think she's going to be a part of the Genesis study this Friday. I've been encouraging her to come and maybe bring some of her Chinese friends. And so it's great to have testimony shared over the air. So thank you, Mary, for writing us. And I know she listens to the archive program. So we appreciate you, Mary, and your continued support there from Texas. Now, I don't know where people are at today because of all the snow, and they're probably shoveling out of their driveways or staying home, or who knows what the weather will have in the next few days, too. I heard there might even be some more snow this weekend. But I know last week when we were talking about sorrow and pain and suffering and heartache, I thought of that song. It was by Michael Card, Come Lift Up Your Soul. And the first time I heard it, I liked the melody. It's kind of a little bluesy. I don't know. You wouldn't say light contemporary. I don't know. It just had, the melody was captivating for me. And then I love the words. And I'll point out a few of the words. And then I think with some of what you've been preaching on and sharing, it could segue into some of our topic. It talks about how we can identify with Jesus, that he's available for all of us. He's accessible, that he's been wounded. And so he can identify and has a great understanding of when we've been wounded, and that we can worship him with our wounds, because he's been wounded too. So those will be a couple of the things that Michael Card sings about. And I think it'll be a good segue into some of the things you've been preaching on. This is Come Lift Up Your Soul by Michael Card.
If you are wounded, and if you're alone, if you are angry, your heart is cold as stone, if you have fallen, and if you are weak, then come find the word of God that only the suffering seek. Come lift up your sorrows, offer your pain, come make a sacrifice of all your shame there in your wilderness. He's waiting for you to worship him. He has not stuttered, and he has not lied, when he said, come unto me, you're not disqualified, when you're heavy laden, you may want to depart. Those who know sorrow, they're closest to his heart. Come lift up your sorrows and offer your pain. Come make a sacrifice. Waiting for you to worship him with your wounds, for he's wounded too. In this most holy place, he's made a sacred space for those who will trust to cry out to him, and you'll find no curtain there, no reason left for fear. There's perfect. perfect freedom here to weep every unwept tear. Come lift up your sorrow,
lift up your sorrow,
and offer your pain.
Offer your pain.
Come make a sacrifice of all your share.
Encapsulate some of what I've been teaching in the last couple weeks, well, last week in particular, and then this week. It's part of a 2-week series on surviving suffering, suffering well, going through seasons of suffering. I think that what Christians often lack is a biblical understanding of suffering, or understanding what suffering is all about. Suffering is a tool that God uses to get our attention to accomplish His purposes in our lives. You know, suffering is designed to build our trust in Him, but suffering requires the right response if it's to be successful in accomplishing God's purposes. I love to think of it this way. Suffering forces us to turn from trusting in our own resources to trusting by faith in God's resources. Now, I want to make one distinction for people, because I've run across this a lot being a pastor. Maybe if you're another pastor out there, you're going to say amen also. But suffering apart from God, so suffering where God is not in it, that's not virtuous, nor is it a sign of holiness. It doesn't mean you gain points with God or you somehow subdue the flesh. To put yourself in a position of suffering to feel as though you're somehow gaining holiness points doesn't do anything, actually. It doesn't build you up or refine you. It doesn't do the things that God wants to do in and through your suffering. So I want to make sure that we understand and make that distinction. And also understand, too, that God knows suffering. God knows suffering, and He knows your suffering. He knows blanket all suffering, but He understands distinctly and intimately your suffering. In fact, Psalm 34 and 18 tells us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit. You know, when you began your season of suffering or this tough season that you were in, God didn't suddenly vacate His position of sovereignty. He didn't somehow lose or fall off the throne. He didn't move out of heaven. In fact, He moved towards you and drew you towards Him. And what I love is that the Bible doesn't try to hide any of this kind of tension. In fact, over one half of the Psalms of David are laments, asking God, where are you? I think about Acts 28, where Paul is shipwrecked, and then he's floating up on the shore, you know, and he gets up on the shore, he sees some indigenous native people, he begins to preach the gospel to them, and immediately a snake bites him. I mean, how many of you have had that kind of day where work is just a mess, it's a shipwreck? And then you get home and the snake bites you, whether it's your spouse, the phone rings, you receive bad news, who knows what. A moment where you've gotten through the whole day by faith, and then you just want to go like, wait, you've got to be kidding me. This just happened? I mean, you've got to be kidding me, God. But Paul doesn't do that. What I love in Acts 28 is Paul shakes the snake off his hand and continues to preach the gospel. Because Paul understood, and we're going to find out as we get a little bit more into this, about knee-deep into this, that Paul understood that a Christian life, A life lived by faith is not a life lived apart from suffering, but it's a life lived in and through suffering.
And it wasn't like he was having that great day that maybe some of us were having. He was shipwrecked. He was captured. He was incarcerated or imprisoned. So he was already having a terrible day.
Yeah,
and
he was
already having
a bad day. He was already having a bad day. So the Bible gives us these gut-level moments that we can connect to so that we can understand the saving grace of God. The Bible's full of these moments where God's people are frantic and God is faithful. And you know what? The Bible calls him this thing. It says he is the God of hope. In fact, Romans chapter 15 tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." I love this verse because he's the God of hope, which means he's sovereign over hope. Also, it says in this here that he'll fill you with all joy and peace in believing, which means that you will not find joy, and joy is not happiness. Joy is something entirely different. You can have joy in the midst of losing someone, in the midst of finding out you have cancer, in the midst of all those seasons of suffering. You can still have joy. You may not have happiness because they are two entirely different things. But here in this verse, it tells us that only God can fill you full of joy and peace, because he's sovereign over all hope. And what I love here is it says that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You know what that means? That he fills us with joy and peace, which produces hope, which produces more joy and peace, which produces hope, which produces more joy and peace, so on and so forth. You abound in hope. You don't simply get some and you stand still. You get some and you begin jumping and leaping. That's opposite to the limping that maybe you have been doing in the season of suffering, because your response to God has been, "Why me?" instead of maybe, "Why now? God, what are we trying to do here? What is it you're trying to teach me? And what is it that we're going to understand through this?" And when we begin to study Paul, I want to tell you what. You might be shocked what Paul has to say about suffering. You might be entirely shocked by it, because it's not something you would think. I mean, I know that when we go through seasons of suffering, we go to friends and we ask them, "Pray for us. Pray for us right now, please." And our friends say, "Lord, will you deliver them from this season of suffering? Lord, will you lift this burden from them? Lord, will you wrap your wings around them during the suffering?" And you know what? Those are great prayers. But Paul never prays any of those prayers for anybody in the New Testament. You know what Paul actually prays? That you would find suffering, and that suffering would find you, and that you would enter into suffering in such a way that it would refine you and make you worthy of the kingdom of God. I mean, that's countercultural to the max. I love what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says this, "For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction." He says, we kept telling you before it even happened that it was going to happen, because as Christians, we know it's going to happen. In Acts chapter 14 and 22, this is Paul and Barnabas' ministry training course. It says, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." And finally, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which I prayed before the program today. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to" what? "His purpose." Not mine. His purpose. And I can't see his purpose, because Corinthians tells me that his ways are not my ways, that who can know the thoughts of God? And so God's thoughts are entirely, God's thoughts are on tomorrow, the next day, and into eternity. God doesn't simply know about tomorrow. God is in tomorrow already. It's kind of this transcendent out of time and always in time. And so Paul writes to this church in Thessalonica, and I really want to talk about 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, because it really has a lot to say for us. But Paul writes to this church, and he tells them this. He says, "Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness in faith and in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring." First of all, Paul says, we boast about you. Now, why can Paul say we boast about you? Because Paul knew what that was all about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, "I'll boast about a man like that. I will not boast about myself except in my weakness." At the end of 2 Corinthians 12, he says this, "That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, and in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong." Now, boasting is a deep satisfaction that drives us to share. We have a deep satisfaction about something, so we're driven to talk about it. Paul, he was driven to talk about his weaknesses. Go to Barnes & Noble's today, to the self-help section, and see if you can find a book called Delight in Your Weakness. You're not going to find it. You know what you're going to find a lot of books that tell you? To be strong, to empower yourself, to strengthen yourself, to build yourself up. You're not going to find a book that tells you 10 ways to delight in your insults and hardship and persecution. And by the way, delight in your weakness, because when you're weak, you're strong. You're not going to find that. That's over in biblical studies. It's called the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you're going to find that. And Paul, he delighted. In fact, not only delighted, but he boasted about it. He talked about it wherever he went. You know, he probably went into town and people were strong in their pride and their arrogance. So Paul goes, you know what? I'm strong too, but it's only in my weakness. It's only in my faults. And then he probably went on to say, you know, I got a thorn, and most of us don't know what that thorn is, but Satan massages it for condemnation, and I've pleaded to the Lord 3 times to take it away from me, and he told me my grace is sufficient, and you know what, I trust him, so he's probably right. So therefore, I delight in my weakness. And I got to think that confounded the wise. I got to think Paul looked foolish to them. In fact, when Paul said, you'll look foolish to those who are perishing, that's because he probably said things like that and looked foolish, and people were like, what? What did he just say? You know, and I believe this. I've said this in my church a number of weeks, and I'm not going to stop saying it. The gospel doesn't need strong men and women who falter and fall in their own strength. We need weak men and women who in their weakness will be made strong by Jesus Christ. Men and women who enter into tough seasons of their life and find delight, not a kind of weird like, kick me again, or, you know, punch me right here, I can take it. No, a delight because Jesus, who is their treasure, who is worthy of all praise, is their center. The one who makes them strong.
Now, I know, Jason, you have so much more to say, and you're going to do part two this Sunday at your church service, 10:45 at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. So I'm going to encourage you listeners to continue listening, because probably next Wednesday we'll take off some more on this very topic, because, I mean, it'll be fresh after your Sunday morning service and preparation time.
Let me just say this, okay? I want to be straight with all of you. Let me say this. If I had what I wanted this moment, okay? If I had exactly what I wanted this moment, and I got a laundry list, trust me, I'd like a bigger house, I'd like a nicer car, I'd like more money, I'd like my kids to be really obedient, I love my wife, but I'd like a more compliant wife who's not, doesn't enter into kind of so many robust conversations with me. I would love to have all those, but you know what, if God gave me every single one of those that I'm asking for, and he can give me himself, it would all be for loss. And so what I'm asking for in my season of suffering isn't what I know that I truly need. And I have to count that my Heavenly Father knows what I need, not just for today, but tomorrow and the next day and a day after that. Because if I had a totally compliant wife, I would never have grown. In fact, what I would have grown in is my own affections, my own desire, and my own love to worship myself. And she helps me not to do that. And so God has given me a place to delight in my weakness. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong through him.
And I wrote down earlier, God needs to be at the center of our suffering. He could probably chew on that all day long. I've never even thought about, I want him to remove my suffering, not be in the center of it. Something to take to heart today. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
If you are wounded, if you're alone, if you are angry, if your heart is cold as stone, if you have fallen, and if you are weak, then come find the word that only the suffering seek. Come lift up your sorrows and offer your pain. Come make a sacrifice of all your share there in your will. He's waiting for you to worship him.